The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 19th through Sunday, May 25th, 2025. The commentary for the month of May was written by Neil Kumar Raman, who serves as rector of Grace Church, Haddon Field, New Jersey. Now, he has a love for teaching, church history, and the liturgy. He is an avid reader, a double bassist, and loves to cook, especially South Indian food. The commentary for Monday, May 19th, begins with a passage from Psalm 57, verse 8. Wake up, my spirit, awake, lute and harp, I myself will waken the dawn. Here's the commentary. Shortly after graduating from college, I had a life-changing weekend. I spent a weekend making a cursillo, which is a short retreat-like course in Christian living. One of the vivid memories I have from that weekend is how we were awakened. So that we would not be easily distracted, we had given up our phones and watches for the weekend, so the staff served as our alarm clocks. But they didn't wake us up by knocking on our doors. Instead, the staff walked up and down the hallway, singing songs of praise and ringing bells. It was jarring on the first day, but by day three, I look forward to the unbridled joy and silliness. What a gift it was to start each morning by opening my eyes to the sound of songs of praise. And now I'm going to read from the full psalm, number 57. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass by. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame those who trample on me. God will send forth His steadfast love and His faithfulness. I lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongues sharp words. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And the moving forward question for this day is, have you ever thought about changing your alarm clock or ringtone to a song of praise? The commentary for Tuesday, May 20th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 15. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. A few years ago, a small group of seminarians at Sewanee were interested in doing some hands-on learning about the connections between food, farming, and faith. Sewanee is the perfect place for that kind of project. The students convinced the seminary administration to allow a small garden in an empty courtyard. The once empty courtyard became a hub of activity. The hard-packed ground was broken up with shovels and tilled. Raised beds were built, and the soil was carefully prepared. The seeds were sown with care, and the plants tended. Like generations of farmers and gardeners before them, the students did everything in their power to make the process as efficient as possible. They tested and adjusted the pH and mineral content of the soil and chose crops most appropriate for the region and sun exposure. They worked hard to prepare their small plot of land so that it could produce as much as possible. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for today from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. When a great crowd gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive, and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that and the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, May 20th, is, what garden are you tending? Does it need more care? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 21st. It begins with a passage also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 22a. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." In setting a course for the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus invites his disciples to leave the safety of their familiar land to go and serve people who do not share the same culture or customs, people who may well be hostile to them. The Christian life is full of invitations from Jesus to follow him in new ways. It is full of invitations to go across to the other side. If we accept these invitations, we will find ourselves changed. We will meet God as revealed in Jesus Christ in new and often humbling ways. These encounters with the risen Christ refine and redefine what we think we know about God. They shock us into remembering that our will and God's will are not identical. Jesus' call to go across to the other side is a call to encounter him again and again and again so that we might know him more fully, so that we can be transformed. The boat is at the dock. Jesus is beckoning. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Luke 8, verses 16 through 25. No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Then pay attention to how you listen. For to those who have, more will be given. And from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." But he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing!" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, May 21st, where is Jesus calling you? The commentary for Thursday, May 22nd, begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 through 8. "We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." This snippet from St. Paul's letter to the Romans is commonly heard as part of the opening anthems at funerals. I have found great solace in these words as I have read them in procession while burying beloved parishioners. I have found equal solace in hearing those words at the burial of family members. Given that association, it might be surprising to learn in context how these verses speak to the ways we relate to one another in life. The reminder that we ultimately belong not to ourselves, but to God, is as important in life as it is in the shadow of death. In moments of grief, these words are a comfort. In the midst of life, they call us out of ourselves and into conscious awareness of our interconnectedness, our necessary connection with God, and the web of relationships that we have and are responsible for by virtue of our membership in the community of disciples. Now I'm going to read the full passage from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, And those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each of us will be accountable to God. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, imagine these words said at the birth of a child, a confirmation, or a wedding. Does the setting change the meaning for you? The commentary for Friday, May 23rd, begins with a Psalm 106, verse 48. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen, Hallelujah. Several years ago, I visited a salt mine in a small town outside of Krakow, Poland. On the surface, it looked like any other mine-turned-museum. I had been on a tour of a mine before, and aside from the fact that we were told we could lick the walls to taste the salt if we wanted to, I did not, it initially seemed unremarkable. Our guide took us into a darkened chamber. We waited until we were all gathered inside before turning on the lights. Deep underground, we saw a stunning cathedral carved entirely out of salt. It was ornate, beautiful, and completely unexpected. Over the years, the miners had carved structures of immense beauty in this and other chambers. They offered up glory and praise to God with the work of their hands. From the surface, you would never know that this beauty exalting God's magnificence existed right below your feet. And now I'm going to read the Psalm 106 from verses 19 through 48. They made a calf at Horeb and worshipped a cast image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness, and would disperse their descendants among the nations, scattering them over the lands. Then they attached themselves to the Baal of Peor, and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and interceded, and the plague was stopped. And that has been reckoned to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. they angered the Lord at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke words that were rash. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and prostituted themselves in their doings. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations, so that those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through the iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant and showed compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. And the moving forward question for this Friday, where have you seen beauty in unexpected places? The commentary for Saturday, May 24th, which is the day on which we commemorate the first missionary bishop of the Episcopal Church, Jackson Kemper. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 6. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The witness of Bishop Jackson Kemper, whom we honor today, is simultaneously inspiring and humbling. He was ordained in 1835 as the Episcopal Church's first missionary bishop. His tireless proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ led to the founding of parishes not only in Missouri and Indiana, where he was charged to work, but also in Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Kansas. His life and the legacy of Christian communities are an inspiration. May we follow in his footsteps and in the footsteps of so many others throughout history who have unabashedly spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to places near and far. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. The moving forward question for this Saturday is, when was the last time you shared the good news of Jesus with a friend or a neighbor? If you can't remember, then maybe you can start doing so today. And now as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 25th, the sixth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27b. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Amid the troubles and tribulations of the world, Christ calls us to leave our fears behind and embrace hope. The hope that Jesus calls us to is not a call to put on rose-colored glasses. It's not a summons to some sort of unfounded optimism that is completely out of touch with the reality of the world. Instead, it is a call to live in a hope founded on the promises of one who has met death and emerged victorious. This sort of hope does not deny the existence of pain and death, but persists despite them. It is a call to look at the world through an Easter lens. Through this lens, we can see that in Christ, joy can assert itself even in times of pain and loss, and community can break into a world filled with isolation. It is a reminder that the God of peace, who has brought Jesus from death to life, will not abandon us in our isolation or despair, and will not leave us comfortless. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel passage of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." And the moving forward question is, when you feel troubled and afraid, return to these words from the Gospel of John. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.